Podluck.
Hey, everybody.
Podcast Hello. For winners.
Yeah, definitely.
No. Winners. We are here to inspire you.
I feel like a winner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Chicken parm dinner.
Oof. I don't eat meat anymore.
Oh.
Do you not?
I didn't know that was a thing.
Nah, it's... Yeah.
What? You just became a vegetarian?
Yeah, it's kind of... I don't like saying I'm a vegetarian, because I feel like when you say that...
I just don't eat meat. It sounds a little bit better because it's another term, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because I feel like when someone asks, like, oh, are you a vegetarian? It's like, you know, on the surface, they're just asking, oh, do you not eat meat? But then under the surface, they're asking, like, are all these preconceived notions about vegetarians, do those apply to you? Can I label you and lump you
There's
into a
group? Core set of principles that follows along with that in people's minds. Like,
yeah.
Stereotypically.
Yeah, and they don't want me to explain my reasoning. They just want to be able to, like, wrap their head around it. So
we'll get into my old job and then down the line, but there was a vegetarian who worked there, and my boss thought it would be funny to constantly try and challenge his vegetarianism the way teenagers do.
Yeah, well, you're a meat handler.
Right. Well, yeah, there's that too. That wasn't that job.
That was a different job?
Was your boss my dad?
Maybe.
Men like meat, like old men, like they like meat.
This was not, I worked at a ShopRite too, wrapping meat. That was probably my worst job.
You've seen a lot of meat experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to get back to the story, she would constantly do stuff like if he ordered like spaghetti, she would be like, so what would you do if this had meat on it? And the answer is inevitably, I guess I wouldn't eat it.
Yeah. Right.
But it would be like every time we went out to lunch.
So like he got like an apple and a water and she'd be like, well, what if that apple was made of
rib
roast?
What if there was a hot dog in that apple?
She just couldn't quite wrap her head around the like cause effect.
Yeah. What if there were bacon bits in that water? Would you still drink it?
Well, imitation ones I don't think are real.
Was she like an older lady?
Yeah.
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 So weird.
Completely inflexible to anyone else's views.
It's just so odd because like, yeah.
Well, like I don't understand what's mystical about vegetarians at this point in our society.
So
vegans are still a mystery, though.
Perhaps
I'm the third non-meat eater in my family,
right?
And also the most recent. And my dad, who you know I love, and he's a funny guy, but this joke he just never ever gets tired of. It's been probably 2 decades of him. Just whenever there's a meal with one of us, it's always like, oh, do you want some chicken? It's like, no, Dad, I don't want any chicken.
That's hilarious, though.
That's
because he's offering you stuff you don't want.
Literally for like 20 years.
That's dad jokes material. R/ dad jokes.
Yeah.
Or whatever that is.
So, I don't know. Something about it. Just
that was surprising.
Seems really funny.
Yeah.
To a point, though, Chance brought up that I worked at as a meat wrapper for a while, and I told this story on the unreleased third episode, but
which you guys will never get to hear.
You'll never get to hear it unless you pay us $10.
Let's never say never.
But it was all blue collar guys working there who had been, you know, meat cutters for like 30 years, and there was this one guy named Jim who was like the lead meat cutter, and I had been there for like 2 months, and at one point, it's like, it's the Christmas season or like Thanksgiving season, and people are going ape shit, just buying like pounds and pounds and pounds of meat.
You need meat.
Yeah. And at one point, I turned to this like ultra blue collar Northeast Philly dude, just like furiously cutting meat with a knife, and I say,
what's his name again?
Jim.
Jim.
Yeah. Okay. I said, hey, Jim, do you think people buy too much meat? And he goes, yeah, I fucking do. This is fucking ridiculous. It's disgusting. Which.
He then, I'm sure, went home and ate, like, a pot roast or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like if a guy like that is reacting
in that way
to
about
that,
meat,
yeah,
something's wrong.
Yeah, it kind of changed my perspective on it.
Yeah.
And that whole thing was, we have a whole segment planned about that. We got to run that back at some point. That was that was a rough one.
Yeah.
The meatpacking industry and its effects on people.
It's very fun and very good mentally for you.
There's that old saying about how, like, if you show someone how to, like, they butcher a cow, they'd become a vegetarian or something like that.
I feel like I know how that by this point. And I was a vegetarian for a month after that.
Right.
And weirdly, the thing that, like, stopped me was shrimp. I feel like that's not typical.
Well, okay, I have a shrimp-related incident here, because it's only been a couple of weeks that I've sort of been not eating meat or whatever. But at the same time, as I said, I don't want to, like, really talk about it to people, and I don't, you know, I just really don't want to make a fuss about it.
Right.
So we went to dinner at my parents' house, and, you know, my parents prepared shrimp for us, and I wasn't sure if I had told them that I really wasn't eating meat anymore. And shrimp specifically, I have a weird feeling about, because I feel like I could eat so many shrimp.
Yeah.
I could probably eat 100 shrimp in one sitting.
Yeah. They're living finger foods.
And yeah, that's 100 little lives that I'm just putting into my belly. You know, in literally, that's like a Godzilla proportion. So I don't want to be...
One of the only meats you can use is a topping.
Right,
it's like
right.
An entire animal.
Yeah, you just put it on other little things. But of course, you know, I don't want to be rude, and they're already dead. It's not like they're... I'm going to bring them back by not eating these prepared shrimp. So, you know, I eat them or whatever just to, you know, not cause a scene with my parents or whatever. And so this is the first time in a couple of weeks that I've ingested meat. And I find myself completely unable to not think about what I'm eating. And it was actually kind of hard to stomach. Because, yeah. Like, I was acutely aware of, like, this is, like, every crunch was, like, it was like a visceral and unpleasant kind of like.
You caught meat feelings.
Yeah, it was not good.
Well, if you don't eat meat for a while, it becomes really gross.
Yeah, you get like sickening.
Like, yeah,
like physically and just in theory.
Yeah,
the iron contents and stuff, and very scientific. I don't feel like boring you with that.
I choked my way through it, kind of, and you know, it's so strange because the taste is great. You know, my parents are good cooks or whatever, but just psychologically, I was having a really bad reaction to it.
Kind of like this podcast.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after we scream at Adam for being a vegetarian. You managed to start talking right after it started recording, though.
That's the gift of gab I have.
Yeah. This is segment one. Maybe we'll have music by this point.
I don't know.
That's going to be my goal by this week. Just get music.
Any type of music.
Any kind of music.
Yeah. Even
if I have to
music.
Make it myself. Or Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj music.
I think she'd be okay with
my
it.
My Anaconda don't.
First of all, if Nicki Minaj or her legal team knew enough about us to threaten with a cease and desist.
I'd be flattered.
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
We have 50 listeners right now. And thank all of you for sticking with us so far.
I mean, there's no guarantee of that.
No guarantee at all. And you can come and go as you wish.
The only thing that matters is we get more Facebook likes.
Yeah.
We need more Facebook likes.
Only listen to this long enough for us to tell you to get Facebook. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you liked us on Facebook, thank you so much. We had... Like, what are we at? Like, 48 or something within, like, 2 days?
Yeah.
2 or 3 days?
Well, you gotta think about time lapse here, because this won't come out
This will be a month down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. So by this point...
We could have, like, 52.
We're probably gonna be famous.
Yeah.
We're probably gonna be Mark Maron.
Get developmental deals.
I mean, I'm thinking we're sitting in the mid-50s, likewise.
Yeah.
The important thing is we have more than 45.
We're projecting.
Right. And only I get to know why.
makes sense. Makes sense.
So, Adam wanted to talk about something.
Yeah.
It's this movie franchise that I'm not that familiar with.
Yeah.
The Star Wars?
Yes.
The Star Wars.
The Star War? Okay. The Stars War.
The Stars War.
The Stars War.
We'll call it Star Wars.
I want to talk about Star Wars, and I think a lot of people are talking about Star Wars right now. And I don't want to talk about the new Star Wars movies. Get on like some kind of
soapbox
and bitch about, you know, fake shit. What I do want to talk about is I used to really like Star Wars. I really, really enjoyed the movies when I was younger. And I recently rewatched the originals to test my feelings.
Are you trying to give like context to anything? Or?
Well, so I probably hadn't watched them as films ever. Like, I think before this, the most recently I had watched Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi was maybe in a high school science fiction class where...
Pretty much as a reward.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't, like, looking at them critically. If anything, I was a little bored because I wanted to watch Blade Runner.
That makes sense.
And then before that, probably would be as a little kid, when they released them as the Star Wars Special Edition, I guess in like the mid-90s? Late 90s?
It was about 97, I think.
Okay, so late
90s. Yeah, because then, I forget when episode 1 was.
That was 99, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say it was around then.
I was in 6th grade, I think.
Yeah.
When that
so Special Edition might have been a little earlier.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I'm sure if I went through my elementary school daily journals, I would find more detailed data. But so, you know, when you're a kid, you watch stuff and you're not necessarily critical of it. You just kind of like what you like. So this was the first time that I had gone back and watched these films kind of with a more critical eye. Not as a fan, but just kind of as films, I suppose. Because I think the two of you probably would agree that, you know, there have been other Star Wars movies.
I agree that there have been other ones.
I didn't really care for them.
It's a fact.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to act like they're terrible movies or anything like that, but I certainly, you know, I didn't have the same reaction to them. So I guess I was curious about that. Is it just because I was a kid when I watched it or whatever? So upon rewatching these movies, I really enjoyed them. I would have gone on a limb and say that, you know, they're good movies. They're good films.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about, I guess, what my relationship with those films was like and what was important about it and what I think was bad about it, I guess. So contextually, probably 4th grade, maybe the first time I see Star Wars as part of this special edition. I get to see it in theaters. There's all these new special effects, which in retrospect are probably not necessary, but at the time I was very excited about them because they were new.
Yeah, because it meant that they were better.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I guess my family probably took me to go see A New Hope. It was pretty popular. You know, I remember a lot of other kids were going and seeing the movies or whatever. And I got really, really, really into them, which I, you know, I don't think that's unusual for people of our age group to have gone through that.
No, I went through that too.
That phase. And you got the books, you got the toys and
yeah, stuff. Everything was a multi-layered marketing strategy.
Yeah.
If you're marketing to youths or children.
Right. So I got immersed into this world. Maybe that's just the kind of personality I have. But I distinctly remember it was a winter's day, and I think it was over a long weekend, and I was going to see the special edition of Empire Strikes Back at the end of this weekend. I was very, very excited about it because I had never seen The Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. The video store near my house never had it. So whereas I had, you know, witnessed Star Wars and Return of the Jedi, and I'd played the Super Nintendo games, you know, I was a little familiar with them. The Empire Strikes Back was a just huge hole in that experience for me.
So the video store had the first and third movies, but not the second?
They never had the second one.
Was it just not in stock, or they just didn't carry it?
I don't know. I have a lot of experiences in my childhood where the video store just didn't have something.
Yeah, video stores in our day were weird.
Yeah.
There was really just a crapshoot.
I never played the first Zelda until I was probably 16.
Right.
Because the video store just they never had. I don't know if somebody else was renting it.
The problem was, like, Blockbuster, everyone went to. And then, like, the local video rental stores didn't have the money or the means to have everything when it was, like, new or popular or anything like that. So no one went to them because they didn't have anything that was
except
new or popular.
Except Blockbuster never had anything either.
That's the problem, because everyone went there because they actually had shit for a little while.
Now, both my older siblings worked at Blockbuster probably around this time.
Seemed like a hip job at the time.
Yeah, I mean, they just got to bring home kind of whatever. I think you could bring home, like, a certain amount of stuff for free. So my brother used that to get through all of Phantasy Star 4 without ever having to buy it. We almost never got movies from it. But anyway, so they never had Empire Strikes Back. I never saw it. I was kind of aware of some of the events of it because they're alluded to in Return of the Jedi and whatnot. But I'd never seen it, and so it was this big magical mystery that I couldn't wait to go see it. And it was over the winter. And we had a really big snowstorm, and I remember
that would have been the blizzard.
Yeah,
the blizzard of '96.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, so that
like the worst blizzard,
maybe. Yeah,
in I think in our area's history since like the 1900s, like the early 1900s or some shit.
I was psyched about it. I was really excited about it because I knew that Hoth had snow, And
so it was perfect.
Yeah, and
you're
I
legitimately immersed.
I didn't go outside and make snowman or go sledding or anything. Like, I went outside and I did myself up like I was part of the Rebel Alliance and whatever, like I was going out after Luke. And I just went out and I just trudged out into the snow and into the wild of the big empty space behind my house that belongs to the high school. Yeah. And just wandered around in the snow, in the blizzard, and I was in a different world.
Because imagination was amazing.
Yeah, it was just this magical experience. And that's kind of what those movies did for me when I was a kid. It was just this other world that was just full of mysteries and wonder. And I loved it. You know, there was something so appealing about that. Because you've got characters who have such decided purpose. You know what I mean? Like, they've got destinies. They've got things to accomplish.
Everything is black and white.
Yeah. Well,
everything's
yeah.
very clear, and there's none of the grayness of the real world.
No, not at all. And more importantly, like,
literally a good side and a bad side.
Yeah.
People basically have their destinies handed to them
right.
in Star Wars. There's a clear bad guy that you can confront head on.
You can literally look at him and tell he's a bad guy.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, Luke Skywalker, like, you know, he's... It's archetypal, but, you know, he's the hero who's destined to confront this evil and all this stuff. And it gives this great sense of, I don't know, you know, you don't ever have that sense of importance, you know, growing up as just some suburban kid. And I think even as I grew older, I was always acutely aware of a sort of a lack of a sense of purpose, you know? I think that's what I was seeing in fiction. Obviously, not just Star Wars at that moment.
You want to be the guy.
Yeah, exactly. Just the idea that there was something, some determined meaning to, like, your actions.
Yeah,
you don't
have to go to school every single day until you're done with school, and then you have to go to work.
Right. These guys seemed to, they affected change. You know what I mean? They had these fun adventures or whatever, but I think the real kind of deep appeal there was the idea that they were out there, they were doing something. And I wanted to be doing something so badly, you
and
know?
As a kid, you don't really have the opportunity to do anything, especially if there's, like, a snowstorm. Like,
right.
your entire way to get to, like, the movie theater would be if your older sibling took you, or if your parents took you. Like, this came back with the video rental store. I had a Blockbuster, like, Game Pass, where you could come in whenever you wanted, rent whatever game you wanted, flip-flop them out, the whole thing, take them home as long as you wanted, you paid monthly for it. It was absolutely awesome. Except for when I couldn't get my family to, like, drive me to Blockbuster.
Right.
Because then I was just stuck with the game that I had.
Right.
Which was... Thinking back now, if I had a place where I could just go and just flip games out back and forth, don't have to wait for them in the mail, like,
you're
GameFly
doing that all
or anything,
the time, probably.
Yeah, I have my own car. I would just drive there whenever I beat the game, or...
I actually often miss the physical rental store.
Yeah.
Especially for games, but also for movies, because I enjoyed browsing... The store.
The Redbox kiosk, while convenient, is...
It's not quite the same. Also, they almost never have anything that I'm looking for.
Yeah, a lot of the time. I rent games through Gamefly sometimes, because I get the rental codes and everything like that. And it's okay, but it's $2 a night, and they don't stock a whole lot of games, because it's not that profitable.
Right.
And then you'll get a game that's, like, scratched, or this or that.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
That's happened to me a bunch of times. I wanted to rent this game that probably everyone listening to this has heard of, called Dragon Age. Mm-hmm. Dragon Age Origins.
Right.
And the first time I got the disc, there was just nothing in the sleeve. So I had to return it and say, hey,
that's great. Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were also people who print out stuff and put it over top of the disc.
Right.
Like, they'll print out a picture of the disc with, like, the QR code that the machine reads.
That's devious.
Yeah.
How would you...
I mean, they gave me the benefit of the doubt, at least, and said, okay, we'll send you another one.
You're not just stocking copies of Dragon Age.
They'll just charge the person before you.
Right. They sent me another copy, and it was scratched. So then it was, like, another week of waiting, because it was, like, the holidays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally get it, and I fucking hate it.
This game sucks.
I can't stand it.
I did.
My mind was racing to try and remember if I knew that you liked this game or not.
I mean, well, it was no Alpha Protocol.
I did that with Dead or Alive 4. I got it through Gamefly when, like, the 360 was new.
Right.
Because Dead or Alive 4 was, like, the first real fighting game from it. And I didn't
I
didn't like fighting games necessarily, but it was supposed to be cool, and they had a Spartan in it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I remember the Spartan.
Yeah, that was, like, the hot exclusive.
Yeah, it couldn't be the Master Chief.
No,
because of
not.
Canon.
It's, like, 118 or something.
Yeah.
I forget. Some unnamed dude. But I got it, and I was immediately like, this game is going directly into the mail tomorrow morning. Like, I didn't want the whole, do the whole, like, combo, counter my counter, canceling this to do that. And I'm bad at fighting games, as I've said before.
Yeah.
But, oh, man.
I don't think I ever picked up the hang of Dead or Alive either, to be honest, but...
Too hardcore for me, man.
There was a phase towards, like, the end of the N64's lifespan where, like, I decided I was tired of, like, every genre I had played before, so I didn't want any platformers or fighting games or racing games or anything. What I asked for Christmas was YLI Country Club, which is a golf game.
Is that why you have YLI Country Club?
Yes.
Because I have all your N64 games, and I've always looked at that one and puzzled over it.
And
a golf game's relaxing.
There was that, and there was Bass Pro Hunter 64.
Hell, I assumed that those were just gifts from ill-informed relatives.
Those were given to me because I asked for them.
That's fascinating.
I played them both once.
Right. Damn.
Yeah. And then you're like, I have the buyer's remorse.
I'm going to go back to the games I like.
Not even like the buyer's remorse at that point, like the giftee's remorse. Yeah.
Buyer's remorse was when I traded in all of my old NES games. And all my old, like, Genesis games and, like, every game I ever really loved as a kid to get a copy of Rampage 64.
Oh, my God.
But yeah. That is fairly boss, though.
I mean, that was a fun game, but,
yeah, but
not
I beat
for
it
your
in
entire
day.
Backlog of
no,
everything ever.
Not for Chrysalis. Chrysalis?
Oh, I don't know.
It's Chrysalis.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no.
I gave up some premium shit for that.
That's don't worry, not very good game. There are ROMs of all those online.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't hold nearly the memories of a physical cartridge, but...
No, they don't.
I mean, I've reacquired most of them except for Chrysalis.
Chrysalis is hard to find, right?
It's pretty hard to find, yeah. I got it at the
spark in your eyes when you said it's pretty hard to find. Yeah, right there, like, was intense.
It's pretty hard to find, guys. And I never got past the first dungeon.
It's on Virtual Console, probably.
It's not.
Is it really not?
I've checked.
That's crazy.
I'm sure there's no quick Google search that'll give us what Scott's looked for how many hours.
I mean, I'm sure I could buy it for like $30 now.
Yeah, that's not a bit steep, though.
I also don't have my NES anymore.
Yeah.
Memories have a price tag that can be surpassed or not.
I want a convenient version of it.
Mm-hmm.
I got that at a yard sale for like $1. And I remember that because I was coming home from a field trip because in my school everyone in the fifth grade went on this big field trip to this, like, basically, like, this camp. It was called CSC.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not used to being out anywhere, like, away from my parents, specifically away from my home. There were a lot of instances where I would, like, call home during a sleepover and go home at, like, 2 in the morning.
Oh, I've done that, too. All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
We might have found a common denominator between us.
Yeah.
You're both weird.
For the first time.
Shut up.
I've never even been to a sleepover.
Oh, you're
the weirdo.
That's a whole...
But
I was going to say bag of worms. That's a whole can of worms for another time. A whole bag of worms.
So the bathrooms in the bunks were designed like prison bathrooms. It was just like a row of toilets.
Right.
With no dividers or anything.
Right.
Ooh. And I immediately decide I can't do this.
Right.
It's a three-day-long trip. So I don't go to the bathroom at all for 3 days.
That's not healthy.
I know.
You probably had pee coming out of your mouth at that point. Like, you were probably backed up.
And...
like, nobody's business.
I really did.
You gave yourself constipation.
But I saw a flea market on the way home, and I had to stop. I had to see if they had a game.
Yeah,
and I was rewarded because they had Chrysalis.
Man, there's a whole lot of feelings going on.
I know. This is the most emotional I've been on the podcast.
Yeah,
this is the most emotional I've
seen
in my life.
Wait, so is this the copy of Chrysalis that you sold?
Is what?
The copy of...
that you got the art.
Oh, yeah. That's the one I sold for Rampage 64.
We need to get that copy.
We need to get it back.
That pee-soaked copy.
It's wherever the
pee-soaked
NES...
copy. He's holding it in his lap like a kid would do when you go home.
Wherever they put the old NES games from the old electronics boutique in a Chamonix Mall.
There's a long
So, home. Probably the dumpster.
Oh,
or God. Some employee's private collection.
Yeah,
because
probably
they definitely threw those out after a couple months.
Maybe it ended up at Funko Land. That place was awesome.
Oh my God. I still have the game sleeves from Funko Land.
Funko Land was awesome, dude. Independent like game stores way back when were really cool.
Oh, that was nice back when those happened. Oh, there's still one in Plymouth Meeting.
Okay.
There's one in Doylestown that a guy I went to school with runs.
It's, we should go there and make some video content for the podcast.
Yeah, Dave Nonini. Yeah. He's the man.
All right.
He works there.
Hook us up?
Yeah, he likes video games of all types.
Nice. Does he like podcasts run by amateurs?
He likes audio stuff.
Do you like promoting things for free?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the name of the place, but if maybe money were to get, you know, in our pocket, we could You could have our first official sponsor.
Give me so like a, slick.
Give me like $2.
So I guess the point that you were trying to make with Star Wars is that...
So I do want to go back to that for a second. Yeah. I was just trying to find a polite way to get back into that. Because so that was like kind of the wonderful part of my experience with Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
And now I want to talk about how that was bad.
Okay.
Okay. Because unsurprisingly, the kind of majesty and wonder of Yoda lifting... that X-Wing out of the swamp on Dagobah, mm-hmm. and, you know, Anakin Skywalker's kind of redemption and all this stuff. Apparently, you know, that's not really what the people putting out Star Wars content necessarily want you to care about. They kind of just want you to buy shit.
Right.
And I was a little kid, and so that kind of wonderful immersion led very naturally into a sort of fierce materialism. That, again, I don't think was unusual for a kid, but that I think is kind of revealing as the turning point where something stops being, like, a piece of art and stops being kind of an experience and starts being a product.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because you're just chasing that feeling again.
Yeah.
But it will never happen.
So I bought into that wholeheartedly, and I bought all these Star Wars books, and I bought all these Star Wars toys and games and bullshit over the years, and, ultimately, this leads to kind of like a disillusionment, and I'm very lucky that I, you know, sort of at some point I was just like, you know what, this is actually bullshit, and this is not, that wonder is gone.
Because when really all you needed was a snow day.
Yeah.
That's all you needed to
right, exactly.
feel like the Star Wars magic.
Honestly, like, I think what happened is that I started reading books.
Okay.
Because, like, I realized that the experience that I was having with Star Wars didn't need to keep happening through Star Wars.
Right.
Like, when I was in college, I read Siddhartha, and I had that same kind of wonderful experience of having someone else's kind of, like, worldview and experience be part of my brain for a little while, and I realized that is actually the wonderful and lovable and mm-hmm. Magical part of experiencing fiction. It has nothing to do with characters, it has nothing to do with franchises and merchandise and stuff, it has to do with experiencing someone else's vision and kind of getting to see something through somebody else's eyes, and that you can get that without buying a fuckload of toys and games and being a giant consumer piece of shit. So
I mean, you don't need a lot to like feel that. There's a dog barking.
Yeah, it's a neighbor's dog. He's really big.
Alright.
What a massive dog.
Yeah.
I think one of the crazy things I've seen when I used to work at Target was now, like, there's an action figure, and there might be an entire line of action figures. So, like, take the Ninja Turtles, right? The whole line might be, you know, the four turtles and, like, Master Splinter.
Yeah.
But now that... Yeah, maybe. Or he's part of, like, the bad guys line or whatever. But now, they'll give you, like, a piece of, like, another figure that you can make when you buy, like, all five.
Oh, yeah, Marvel loves doing
this. Yeah, you can make, like, a new figure, and that is crazy to think of if I was a child.
Yeah.
Because not only do I need all five of the guys, if I don't have all five of the guys, all I have is three quarters or four fifths of another one.
Yeah, you have worthless junk, basically.
Exactly, so I need the fifth one.
Right.
So you've seen, like, parents come in and be like, do you have the blue one? And it's like, yeah, the guy with the swords. Yeah, I need that one. Yeah. That's the one I need. Why don't you have that one?
And nobody... Yeah, they don't care about the blue guy with the swords. They care about getting the because right arm of Groot.
Yeah, the needs of the child are now the needs of the adult. Because you want to make your kids happy. You just want to be able to get them what they want.
Yeah, absolutely. And man, kids want stuff.
Yeah, I want stuff. Shit like crazy. We talked before about Power Rangers.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I needed Power Rangers.
Again. Yeah.
You know? My grandfather got assaulted for Power Rangers.
Right,
He got punched in the mouth by a woman who tried to take a Power Ranger from her.
Was that on one? Was that part of a podcast that we did?
Yes, that was number three.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, people go nuts, and the reason they go nuts is because kids want stuff.
Yeah.
Kids want stuff because they want to be reminded of the thing that they like.
Yeah.
The way they can do that is to get a backpack, a pencil case, you know, a shirt.
You color everything. Your world with this with these things that you like.
It's a human impulse to, like, surround ourselves with things that we recognize as, like, safe and make us happy and evoke good memories, when really all you need is a copy of Crystalis. The NES.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
You can upgrade your sword and it shoots wind out.
That's great. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That sounds really cool.
Wind gun sword. It is super cool.
Yeah. You can level up in it too.
You know what I think that like kind of crazy immersion in a franchise also did that I think is a negative thing, despite how much I still enjoy the first three Star Wars movies? Mm. Is that I think it also like kind of prevents you from even wanting to engage with the world around you. Because...
Yeah, why bother?
It doesn't really hold a candle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why would you want to?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, where if you get that same feeling from, like, sports and stuff, you go out, like, as a little kid,
right.
You just go out and play the sport, and you're like, I'm doing the exact same thing!
Right.
That's the same level of immersion as you seeing, like, a basketball player on television, and you go out in your driveway and you start shooting.
Right, yeah.
And everybody who's been, like, a big sports fan when you're a kid, like, every time you're in the fantasy, it's not like, regular season game 35. They're up by 20 points in the third quarter.
Right, it's always...
It's game 7.
Yeah.
You're taking... There's 10, 9,
there's consequence
8.
And there's destiny.
Exactly.
And big things are happening.
You always peak.
Yeah.
No one's like, I'm going to be... When I grow up, I'm going to be a journeyman baseball player for 13 years, and I'm going to hit AAA, and I'm going to be so close to getting in the pros.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody's the best.
Right. You've
got to be the best.
Yeah. So why engage in that reality when you...
Yeah.
Eventually, you just end up collecting jerseys and
yeah, exactly.
Shouting at the TV the same way that people shout about Star Wars when the new trailer comes out.
And forcing your kids to play sports that they don't like.
Yeah.
That's the worst, but we'll get into that at some point.
Yeah.
Got some bad Little League experiences.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Not with my family, but with...
Right. There's a whole community of people now who are about our age who just don't want to let go of anything.
Oh, absolutely not. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh,
when you can read a review of a Sonic the Hedgehog game that alleges that the story is a little too Saturday morning cartoon.
It is like, a Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, Sonic the Hedgehog, the guy who's had 5 Saturday morning cartoons. You don't think that the narrative is really, like, mature enough for you? Do you review Tonka trucks, too? And say, like, well, these Tonka trucks really don't stimulate my adult mind.
Have you read
like,
the Amazon reviews? Everyone has an opinion.
We'll get into online reviews later in this episode.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So
that's called a teaser.
So these things can be like, you know, really wonderful experiences for a little while. But
well, like everything else, you need to take it in, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You take it not in stride, you have to take it.
No, there's a word
in moderation.
Moderation was the word I was thinking.
It's tough because when you're a kid, you don't know. You don't know that it's a product.
Yeah, you don't know that people are just trying to make money off you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm probably not even going to see the new Star Wars movie because I don't want to be in a position where I have to talk about it with people.
Probably until it comes out on home media.
Or
I'll drag you to it so we can do an episode about it.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, I mean, that'd be fun. But honestly, like, because I don't think I'm going to love it and I don't think I'm going to hate it, but I do think I'm going to think it's okay.
And you don't want to talk all day about a decent experience.
Well, the problem is that people are going to come away from it either hating it or loving it, because that's how we are. Frozen is the best movie ever made.
Right.
I've never seen Frozen. I'm sure it's fine. In the same way that all Disney musicals are fine. Mm. But best thing ever?
Yeah. I feel like I've seen a ton of movies, especially lately, that are just, like, competently made.
Yeah, they're okay. They're good.
Do you guys know what the VHS cover of Shrek looks like when it came out on
Is it awesome?
Tape.
No.
The top of the banner, like where you put the critic review, says the funniest movie of all time.
That is
if
a
you
lie.
Look up the VHS on like Amazon, it'll say, and I'm trying to rack my brain, it either says the funniest movie of all time or the number one comedy of all time or something like that. It's very like this, it just is. You just need to deal with it.
I don't think any comedy is the number one comedy of all time, but if there was going to be one, I'm pretty sure it's Young Frankenstein. Just putting that.
I like that. I think Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles is really good.
I think
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh,
but
tough.
Yeah.
But you see, that's why hyperbole is so dangerous.
But I do like the idea of someone like,
how are we going to make them buy it? It was only the most popular movie ever when it was in theaters.
Yeah, or the consumer. Oh, the Shrek movie.
I've never heard of this.
I don't know anything about this. What's this say at the top?
Okay, yeah, that's the other thing.
Oh, it's the funniest movie of all time. I better buy it.
That's the other thing is that we spend all this time propping up these things that don't need help at all. Like, you're a crazy Frozen fan. Like...
You're also an 8-year-old girl.
Disney doesn't need your help, buddy. Like,
you're also an 8-year-old girl.
There are like some legit adults who who love, because the same. No. I don't want to be a dick about this. Okay.
But, I mean, this was inevitably going to come out on the podcast, so you might as well do it now.
Yeah, I'm an asshole. Okay, so here's the thing, right? Is and we can talk about this about anything. It could be Big Hero 6. It could be Toy Story 3. It could be whatever. It could be
Toy Story 1.
Lego movie, whatever. Yeah, these movies that come out and that everyone's like, oh, these are great. These are the best movies. This is the best animated thing I've ever seen. And it's like, if you like animation, you care about animation at all, and you look at those movies, you're like, this is actually kind of, these movies are holding back this medium because they're like sort of projecting this infantile obsession with like sort of in-jokes and lazy humor, and they're all licensed product-based things coming from huge studios, and it's like, they're the opposite of art.
Yeah, they're not Persepolis.
They kill art, you know? And it's like...
Persepolis?
It is Persepolis, yeah.
Damn, dude.
And it's not that these things don't have their place, they absolutely do. You can watch them, you can enjoy them or whatever, but at no point should you hold the Avengers up and be like, this is the finest film of our age. Yeah, because it's kind of trash.
Yeah, it's a movie about a bunch of guys in costumes beating up aliens.
It's
yeah.
cool.
It's very cool. It's very cool.
I don't even know if it was that cool.
I think it was cool.
It was okay.
Okay parts in
it. I saw it night up, like opening night, like the Thursday midnight or whatever, like with the 3D and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, I was in to win it. But that's probably part of the mystique.
The biggest virtue of the Avengers is that it should have been absolutely terrible because of the idea of bringing all these superheroes together with absolutely no characterization or storyline.
We were all expecting it to be really, really bad.
And it worked out okay. It was actually pretty good. So I was pleased with it. But then it's like, but still, it's a movie about a bunch of people in silly costumes punching CG aliens and stuff. And it's like, well, what is this movie even about? It's actually less... like culturally relevant and even deep than a real Avengers comic from the 1960s was.
Yeah.
It's they boil them down to just these popcorn.
I mean, it's culturally relevant in that it's the culmination of a 10-year marketing campaign.
Yeah, but that's scary.
That's what movies have become now.
That's scary when you really think about it. Yeah. And it's not even the culmination, it's the midpoint. Because they announced, what, 10 more after this?
Pretty much.
It's never going to stop until it bottoms out eventually, which this stuff always does.
Like, do you think Jack Kirby knew that people were going to be making billions of dollars off of his stuff?
I mean...
like, after he was dead?
No.
Isn't that kind of crazy to think about that? Do you think Bob Kane knew he was going to be making Warner Brothers billions of dollars? No, I bet he wouldn't have even wanted to. But he's dead, so whatever.
Want to be next to the funnies.
They're all dead. Now we're recording
in the second segment.
Second segment. Hey, how'd you enjoy that music that may or may not have been in between the first and second segment?
It was called the Sound of Silence.
Yeah.
That was the name of the piece.
It was called Chance's Melody.
Sure.
The Bolero of Chance.
Yes. Day Chance.
I remember we were playing visual DVD Trivial Pursuit the one time, and they made you guess movie titles by... two objects that were on the screen, and the two objects together would make the movie title. So,
For
instance, because I can't think of anything better, like Die Hard.
It was like Pictionary, kind
of. Yeah, Die Hard would be like a die, like a physical, like, you know, or like a set of dice or something, and then some way to show hardness. So,
yeah, I was desperately trying to think of one.
An X over a nice comfy towel.
So, okay.
Whatever. Die Hard. But they had a bowl and an arrow. And you had to, like, it, like conflued together to make a word.
A bowl?
In a bowl and an arrow. And we're like...
and an arrow.
We're like, bowl arrow? What kind of movie is that? Here, there's a movie called Bolero.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we're like, that's...
that's a stretch.
Yeah. That's dumb.
Yeah, that is
because
dumb.
Because bowl arrow is not the...
yeah.
The bowl arrow of fire.
Yeah. The bowl arrow of fire.
That was one of the few dumb things I didn't know in that game of Trivial Pursuit, because we used to play it with our friends, like Josh and Noah and all them, but no one wants to play it anymore.
My sister got a copy of Trivial Pursuit at a yard sale once, we took it home, we played it, and we didn't know, like, any of the answers.
Because Trivial Pursuit first came out in, like, 1960.
Well, yeah. So we didn't know any of the answers, and we realized that a lot of them... There were all these questions about, like, the provinces of Canada.
That's glorious.
And prime ministers and stuff.
And hockey players.
What is up with this? So we looked at the box a little closer and found out, A, that it was from, like, 1988, and B, that it was from Canada.
I have a theory that no one's ever enjoyed a game of Trivial Pursuit.
I have.
And Monopoly.
It's impossible to enjoy Monopoly. I played a very long game of Monopoly. If you have a niece or nephew, you played a game of Monopoly? Yeah. If you have, like, a younger person in your family, I'm sure I did this to my older siblings as well, but if you have a younger person in your family, eventually they will want to play, like, every board game.
Yeah.
At least once.
Yeah.
So my nephew got it into his head that he wanted to try to play Monopoly for real. He's probably, like, 10 when we did this. So me, my brother, my wife, and my nephew all sit down to play a game of
Monopoly.
And
nice.
That's a good one.
Topical.
What podcast is this?
And within, I think, maybe 3 turns, he had given up and was playing Tetris on the computer while we continued to play the game out of some kind of strange sense of obligation of, well, I don't think any of us have ever played a full game of Monopoly. Let's try and do it. And it was kind of fun until the 2 other players, my brother and my wife, colluded against me.
Just like in real business.
Yeah, to bankrupt me because I was in the lead. So
sounds like they were having fun.
I think by the end, nobody was having fun.
And yeah, until they had to turn on each other. And,
right.
And
watching your brother play Risk is always really fun.
I've never seen him play Risk.
Okay, he never tries to win. What he'll do is he'll gather up as many forces as he can and put them all in one country.
He just holds the line.
Yeah, he puts them all in one country, so he cannot win because he can't expand it all.
Yeah.
But no one can win. No one else can win because they can't possibly take over that
right.
heavily
He's fortified.
Of a
He's
country.
Bossing say.
Yeah.
There's really problems with Risk as a game, but oh well.
I don't think I've ever played Risk.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not greatly fun. The only time I've actually ever played Risk was in video games. They had a... I think
you have 6 hours to kill?
Yeah. I think they had a Risk version for Xbox 360.
Oh, okay.
There was a Sega Genesis version of Battleship that was way better, because when you hit somebody's battleship, you would go into, like, the shooting gallery minigame, and you would actually fight the other battleship.
I like Battleship. That was a fun game.
I remember when Uno came out on Xbox 360 and everyone pooped their pampers. Because they're like, oh my god, we can play Uno online.
We can play Uno
anytime.
It's
like, oh, Uno, that thing that was with every single gathering of your friends that you played like twice and then it was old.
No, that's Cards
Against Humanity. I can't imagine playing that online.
No, well, yeah, that's also Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Uno was also something where someone always has Uno and then Phase 10. And no one wants to be explained how to play Phase 10, so they all play Uno. And then you're just like, this is boring now.
I will say that, like, every time anyone has ever tried to teach me how to play a card game, I've just
zoned out.
Completely unable to follow along. I don't know why.
Unless that card game leads you to drinking. And then which you're like, I might play that card game, I guess. The best card game I think I ever played was my buddy Drew McKay. We were all drinking the one night at college. And we were sitting at a table, not unlike this one. And Drew took a card off the top of the deck. We were playing, like, bullshit or something stupid. And he put it up to his head, and he tried to guess what it was. And if he didn't guess the card and the suit, he had to drink. So, he missed, like, 10 in a row.
There's no losing.
And then he would hold it up to, like, you, with the card back facing you, and then you had to guess it. And that devolved into Drew eventually guessing the Batman symbol for every single card. And then everyone started guessing the Batman symbol for the other card.
Yeah.
Don't know how that night ended.
I just thought
liver poisoning, I think.
maybe. Cirrhosis is how that night ended.
I just thought of a really cool segue. I'll save it for later, though. Chance has something he wants to talk about.
Yeah. Well, we can segue if you want. You want to steal my scene? Then go steal my scene.
I'm not stealing your scene. Okay. I'm trying to get us focused again.
Okay. Well, the whole idea behind this is...
Motherfucker.
Well, whatever you're going to say. I guess you can say it in a podcast.
What I'm going to say to you, I can say on a place that we're broadcasting to people we know.
Yeah, exactly. Or strangers that might think we're hostile.
Maybe.
The thing I wanted to talk about was... I don't know if it specifically has to do with online gaming, but the anonymity is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
The way that... Whenever someone can be mean to you in a game, especially like a competitive game or even a cooperative game with the whole, like we've said, the rise of trolling and this and that, they will just be mean to you. There's no recourse for you just reaching over and hitting them.
Right. Well, like that type of thing. It's consequence free.
Yeah. So you talk about, like, contact sports or something. Even when you're not supposed to do something, you'll get, like, a penalty.
Right.
If someone's jawing at you the entire time, you might just straight hit them.
You can.
You just go out of your way and hit them.
You have that option.
Yeah, and then you'll get kicked out or whatever, and it's like, oh, okay.
But you've made your point. You've taken your stand.
I actually knew a kid who played hockey in middle school who, when you play as a youth in hockey, you're not allowed to fight.
Right.
The only time you're really allowed to fight is in professional hockey. So if you fought, you got a game suspension. If you fought a second time in the league, you got a 3-game suspension. Fought a third time, you get a 5-game. Fourth time, you're ejected from the league. And he would talk about how, there's this kid on my bus when I was younger. He would talk about how he couldn't wait for the first game because he would get into a fight and then not have to play the next game.
That's
And then
hilarious.
The next time, he's like, I'm going to get into a fight again and I'm going to not have to play the next 3 games.
Was, like, his parents forcing him to play a little league hockey?
I think his mom
hockey.
Was, yeah.
That's
I
awesome.
Think his mom was. So, the idea of him immediately, like, he wasn't good at any sports. I played baseball, and I played other stuff with the kid. I think football, too. I never played hockey with him. But, like, the idea that he went out there with, like, a goon enforcer mentality of, like, you need to fight me. Not for any reason other than I don't want to be here.
That's
I like the
amazing.
Idea of fighting somebody just to, like,
to not
to
have
be lazy.
Yeah, to right. not have to play. Right. Do one of the most physical things you possibly could so that you didn't have to do the other
I'll
thing.
Get it all out now.
Yeah.
I can take the rest of the day
but
off.
But, like, the other kid's not going to fight you because they don't want to be suspended.
Right.
And you can't just jump a kid because you'll get assault charges.
So,
right.
So
he had to, like...
for him, wasn't
yeah,
it?
He probably had to, like... smack people with his sticks or, like, trip people up.
Right, he had to, like, slowly make them angry.
Yeah, they had to want to snap on him or, like...
They had to want to fight back.
Yeah, exactly. So that way he gets into a mutual fight. That way he gets banned from the league for a certain amount.
That's almost more work than just playing hockey.
Yeah, he could just be terrible.
He could just play hockey badly.
Yeah, he could be really bad. And then the coach won't put him out for any shifts or anything like that. Like, kind of like
you're
how,
on skates, it's really easy to,
I guess
to be bad at
yeah.
hockey.
There's shame there, though. There's shame in the you're just bad. But if you just get into a fight and get kicked out, then it's like you left on your own terms.
Yeah, it's like that kid, that kid definitely has an anger problem. He's definitely not bad at hockey.
That matters a lot more to people than anything else.
The idea behind it, of him doing it, was so mind-blowing to me. Like, because I was just like, why don't you just play? Because my whole family never forced me to play sports. I always wanted to play sports.
Right. But there's a purpose there, whereas I think in, like, online environments,
yeah.
there's no purpose well, to the hostility.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually accomplish anything.
The whole thing that
unless
wanted
they
to...
want to get banned from League of Legends,
right?
Yeah,
right.
That was my whole thing. Is when I first started playing League of Legends, which I still play, and I play enough to the point where I shouldn't play that much, considering I have a job and I want to go to the gym and stuff like that.
Sure.
So, like, I'll try and cram in, like, an hour or two of playing a day, which is a big commitment to anything you're going to do.
Yeah.
To do that. But when I first started the game, I noticed that I only had a certain amount of characters because I wanted to make my name something goofy. And I found out that the absolute exact amount of characters that you could fit into your name in League of Legends was... I fit in the real Kanye West into the entire bar, and it fit perfectly. So I was like, this is a match made in heaven. First of all... the fact is, people are going to see it, they're going to think, oh, that's really funny, and if it's perfectly, it'll be awesome. People, like, make jokes about it, and this is, like, past the whole Taylor Swift, can I finish thing.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I was expecting. I was like, I'll go into a game, and people either say nothing, because there's an all chat feature.
Yeah.
In the game, where you physically have to type, like, /all, before you even can talk to the other team. So, my whole thing is, like, there's 30 levels in the game till you're fully leveled. Like, 110, it's just me and my friends. No one really knows what they're doing. All well and good. No one says anything. Once you start getting to the point where people kind of know what they're doing and they're confident enough to where they can, like, trash talk, quote-unquote, it got terrible. And League of Legends has the worst online community of any game ever. I love the game. I would like people to play it. Mute everyone in the game that you don't know.
I've heard nothing but horror stories about...
Yeah. Mute literally everyone in the game you do not know. The game's enjoyable.
Right.
Or play it with your friends, because that's actually how it's the most fun. I don't know why there's no way that the client doesn't support, like, having 3 or 4 people on at a time.
It's not MLG, well. Bro.
Yeah, it's 5v5 a game, and it's a game where you need a ton of cooperation, so naturally you'll get none of it. So, once I hit level 30 and I start playing, like, competitively in their little rank system or whatever, every single game is, like, I enter into the game, because you can see the opponent's names before you load in. Because it's like, these 5 people versus these 5 people, and it tells you your name, and everyone's name is like, you know, 420 Boner XD
yeah.
or whatever and that sort of thing. And then I hop in and they see it's the real Kanye West and people are, like, people send the LOLs or whatever, this, that, the other. Someone would be like, how's Kim Kardashian doing? People would then be like, your music sucks. And I'd be like, that's fine, man.
Like, you're or, the, like you really are the real Kanye
West. They would play along with the joke, but the problem was is they went too far into it and I got, like, legitimate vitriol from people.
Right.
Like, I just started having, like, the N-word, like, all caps typed out at me in the middle of the game. Shit. Like, if I died in a lane, or, like, if I killed someone, they'd be like, you filthy N-word, this and that. Like, I guess they thought, like, I was, like, if for some reason you're a stranger and you don't know what I look like or anything,
given how...
I'm the antithesis of Kanye West.
Right.
Right.
Well, not close.
Pretty white.
Given how terrible people on the internet are, you may have not... matter it may have not mattered what your screen name was.
Oh no, probably not. It could have been anything and they would have found a way. But also there's this thing, and I think some of us have all felt it at a time, where if you want to make someone mad, you'll just say the worst possible thing to them.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if you're anonymous.
Yeah, it's not hard.
It got to the point where I switched my name. I actually paid, like, in the in-game currency or whatever to change my name. Because every single game, I was done with being called the N-word or whatever. And all my friends were like, why'd you change your name? We thought the name was funny. And I was like, if you went in every single game and just got called the N-word... And the N-word has no bearing on me.
Right.
I'm not African-American.
That's what's fascinating about it. Is because
it has a bearing on me that I don't... It's a terrible word.
You know it's a bad word.
And everything else like that.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean anything to you personally.
No, it doesn't...
Because you can remove yourself in that situation and know, like, well, they're not. They don't even know what they're talking about.
They obviously don't know, but it just...
But it still sucked.
It still sucked to have it yelled at you all the time.
I mean, that's...
It was terrible.
That's crazy. Because, I mean, there's a school of thought that thinks, like, oh, well, these are just words, and
no,
these words are only... Yeah, exactly. The way that you combat this is by, you know, you take back that word. You use that word yourself or whatever. And it's like, I don't think that matters, because if you can be a perfectly well-adjusted white guy and get... Like, legitimately, like, emotionally upset about...
Yeah, it sucked. It was
about
just one of
being called,
like,
a racial slur that doesn't even apply to you, just from the vitriol behind it.
It got to me to the point of where I was just so annoyed at it happening, and then I would have to be like, you know, just don't even type back. Just, you'll report them at the end of the game, the stupid filter will pick them up and ban them or whatever, and this and that.
Right.
Oh, it was just like... It was the worst. I actually changed my name to Cat Guy, because I was like, that won't get me any... Any sort of hate. And it hasn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, surprisingly.
I was going to say,
has not given me that one. Like, because that's, I guess it's not as inflammatory.
I mean, it's
crazy. To people who are terrible people.
Yeah, I think people are just bad.
But it was shocking to me how quickly that happened.
I had an interesting exchange with somebody. I mean, obviously, we've all had bad experiences online or whatever. But this wasn't even a case of anonymity. This was on Facebook. Where...
One of the least anonymous things you could have.
You know, you don't really need to be all that close with someone to be friends with them on Facebook.
Or friends of friends, and they get picked up by your stupid feed or whatever.
Yeah, right. So, you know, there's just a guy who I kind of know. I've worked with him, maybe, whatever. And sometimes I comment on things that he says. And, you know, he talks about video games or whatever, which, you know, real hot-button issue there. It's really going to get tempers flared or whatever. So, he's talking about some Capcom game. He's musing over the idea of getting excited about Darkstalkers 3 or something. Some game that, you know, Capcom will never make.
Something that makes no... wouldn't probably hit you in an emotional...
No, way. Yeah, there's no reason to get upset about this. So, you know, I like Capcom, and I also think that they're never gonna make Darkstalkers 3. So I kind of comment on, like, yeah, they're never ever going to do that. Don't get your hopes up. But, you know, it makes you feel better. At least they're in a better position than Konami, right? Because I like both those companies, but, you know, they both kind of suck. So, some stranger. I don't know this guy at
friend,
all.
Friend of the friend.
Friend of a friend, right? Just some guy on Facebook. Like, takes issue. Doesn't take issue with me, like, talking bad about Konami. Because he doesn't care about Konami. He takes issue with the implication that I was lessening the sin of Capcom. Like, that I was absolving them of their guilt and they deserved it because it mattered. So this guy kind of... there's a little bit of aggressiveness in his tone, but he says something back to me. So he's not talking to the person that posted it anymore. He's talking to me, a stranger. And I make
and
the mistake...
I don't think you would talk directly to a stranger over social media unless you had some sort of issue.
Right. So I just think this guy is making conversation with me. And so I respond in kind. I'm just like, oh, well, you know, at least Capcom still makes games sometimes. You know, like, Konami just literally, like, don't put anything out that isn't, like, Metal Gear, basically. And then he comes back at me about how, like, oh, it's so, like, childish to bitch about Metal Gear and like, oh, like...
Well, he's translated your words into something that he found a problem with.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people will do. They just want to get angry.
Yeah. At some point, he, like, starts accusing me of liking Super Castlevania 4 and being a nostalgia fag and telling me to go back to NeoGAF. And I'm just, like, floored by this, because this guy is just, like, coming at me with all of these, like, weird stereotypes that I have no understanding of. I have no idea what he's talking about. I do like Castlevania 4, but,
he,
like,
put you as part of a subculture he had no idea you weren't a part of.
Yeah, exactly. He just starts, this is like the vegetarian thing, starts, like, trying to put me into some category that he can demean as hard as possible.
You got labeled, and the internet loves labels.
And at this point, like, I was conducting myself with him as if he was, like, a person. You know, I was talking to him as if we were having a real conversation.
Yeah, on the game FAQs for him.
Yeah, and so at this point, you know, he's called me, like, a slur, kind of, on this, like, public forum, I don't even know this asshole.
He called you, and I absolutely hate the word, he called you a fag.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Why would you, like, I don't understand.
Right, and, like, I don't know this dude. So anyway, at this point, like, I don't want to stop, but at the same time, I don't want to, like, lower myself to that level, and so... This happened to me before, where you suddenly realize the person that you're talking to is not acting like a person, but is acting like human trash.
But you can't see that in them, you just see the words. So until they go off, you have no idea that they've gone off.
So at this point, I just say, wow, okay, you're a fucking asshole. I had no idea. I thought you were like a normal person, and now I see that you're a piece of shit.
You're garbage.
Like, is this literally the extent of the conversation that you can have with another individual.
You're going to publicly post this.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't go on the internet expecting to talk about video games and not get something like this. And I was like, well, actually, believe it or not, some people like talking about video games and aren't huge pieces of shit.
What if you're talking about sports or something?
I was enjoying talking to you until you started acting like a huge piece of shit. So if you can stop, if you can, like, act like a real fucking person and talk to me like I'm a real person.
You could do this with anything, though.
Yeah.
And so, he didn't say anything for a little while. And then he's typed back, like, okay. Alright. Let's try that again.
That's probably because he wasn't anonymous, and you actually just straight up called him out.
Right. So, and when we talked for a little while, and he's, you know, he's a nice, he's a normal guy. We talked about whatever. And we had a regular conversation, and then, like, an hour later, the guy whose Facebook wall it actually was came back and was like, what the fuck just happened here? But it was all good or whatever, but
My cell phone's been ringing for 40 minutes, I don't understand.
It's just, like, the image of me triggered this crazy visceral reaction in this guy's brain that he had to come at me as hard as possible, like I was the enemy, with all these made-up things about me, a person he didn't even know.
His mental gymnastics.
There's a lot of, like, just frightening, baseless anger on the internet. I've actually made it a habit of going to, like, news sites that have a Facebook page, and they'll post, you know, whatever article, and it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah,
some incredibly biased, slanted thing.
Could be local dog wins prize, which I hope I see as a headline one day.
Local dog but there'll, wins
it will
prize.
Inevitably be a Facebook post by just someone, it's usually some, like, older dude, just makes this nasty, angry, bitter post. I've actually made a habit of looking at their Facebook profiles.
Oh, dear God.
And they are just mental wastelands.
A gang of winners.
Yeah. Right. It's always the same thing. It's always, like, three news articles shared from this, you know, spurious white right-wing or even sometimes left-wing
website. Yeah, I mean, left-wing people can be just...
Just a person who's crazy.
Yeah.
They're just crazy.
Someone who's like, oh, Verizon has a Facebook page. That's where I should get all my anger out.
They've just got blinders on.
But it doesn't... It's crazy because the internet has now given everyone a mouthpiece. Like...
A knee jerk.
And they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, it's almost as if, like, back in the town square... like the guy who was important or the guy who had to talk to someone was on stage with a megaphone.
Right.
But the problem is now everyone has a stage and everyone has a megaphone. Yeah.
And it's instant. I don't think most people even read what they write before. I don't think people read the article that they comment on before they're finished commenting on it. It's
that happens a lot.
Knee jerk.
That's I'm the commenting classic
on the headline.
Yeah, that's the classic thing where people, you'll see people who, and I'll still see people who I'm friends with on Facebook post like Breaking Bad's coming back for 4 more seasons, and it's like, oh really? What's the URL? Hollywoodbiz.nzxy, and it's like, oh no, this is totally real. It doesn't matter that 4 pop-ups came up when I went to the website. It
doesn't matter that there's all these ads for Cialis.
Yeah, exactly. I like that you went with Cialis and not
just
Nefiagra.
The first thing, I don't know. Cialis. What does Cialis do? I don't even know.
Cialis was the drug that had the commercial of the guy throwing a football through a tire, I think. Over and over and over and over again. And they didn't tell you what it was
for. But it was for boners.
They said it wasn't for getting boners, apparently.
It was for throwing boners through tires.
That sexual imagery I didn't even get till just now. The whole throwing the stupid
boners. I thought that's why you brought it up.
That's dumb. But that's a dumb way to sell your product.
Because you don't throw your penis off a vagina.
What happens when the football
like a spear or a javelin? You just chuck it in. It's detachable. There's a couple rivets.
That's what Cialis does.
It's like corduroys.
It makes it detachable.
Detachable. Cialis will make your
penis. Don't stop taking it, or it'll get way worse.
Cialis will make your penis a detachable armament.
It's like a boarding hook from a harpoon from a whaling ship.
Oh my god.
That's
terrifying. No, I think Cialis is like, you'll get boners whenever you want over like 4 days.
I like the idea of, it's not like you take it, then
no, I think it's like it a just, no, I think it's like mild Viagra.
It enables but over
like
boners.
A long period of time.
Okay, that's I guess that makes sense.
You won't even have to think about it.
You just get boners all the time. You have a boner for a weekend.
Yeah.
Nice weekend.
call
that the weekend.
I like that.
Cialis,
I got nothing to do. Oh, well.
I'll just hang out with my boner.
Yeah. I just got a cable modem. It's time to go. Yeah. That's the...
Just watching TV.
Just doing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just riding a bike.
Paying bills.
So anonymity.
Going to get milk.
Well, anonymity, I feel like...
You can take Cialis on the internet and no one will know.
Yeah.
So you tell them about...
That's true.
That's the trick of Cialis. You can take it online.
There you go.
I mean, anonymity is, of course, always bad, but I feel like now people don't even care as much because they'll comment on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook
too.
Where it's really you.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we had a horrible tragedy around here
just yesterday.
As a matter of fact. And I don't want to get into specifics or whatever, but, you know, it's always a tragedy when a young person loses their life for a pointless reason, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just strange that...
Not a cool reason, like skateboarding or war.
No, certainly not.
Man, the skateboard war was the coolest war.
The skateboard war was pretty fast.
There was a lot of people falling off.
It was definitely the gnarliest war.
I don't think I've ever seen a person in real life that was good at skateboarding. I'm sure they exist. I've never seen
one. It's almost like wizardry.
they're like unicorns.
You know the trick of Tony Hawk is he actually has a skateboard underneath his other skateboard. So when he falls off his first skateboard,
he just rolls onto the next one.
Right, there's just another one right there.
That's genius.
And no one notices.
How do you pass this?
Yeah. He takes the Alice.
He just takes the Alice.
That's how he balances himself.
He just stays. It's a counterweight.
Yeah.
It's like the people who are tightrope walkers who have that big pole for no reason.
Right, yeah.
That's
it's like that. That's for no reason.
Champs is demonstrating no idea how.
Yeah. All I'm saying is.
That's actual counterweights work.
Hey,
give me that. Let's see if I can do this.
If you were really good at walking some tightrope, you wouldn't need that crutch.
Do you think all of them just go, hey, give me that before they start?
I'm just saying it's amateur. It's like if you're riding a bike with training.
I think they should run.
It's just that pole goes over there.
Hop, skip,
they're just delivering. Right. Fastest way to get
well, the
there.
Thing is,
the only way you can deliver giant poles is over tightrope.
There's supposed to be a flag on it, and they plant the flag before they cross, but they always forget the flag.
They forget the flag. God.
Dumb.
Slackers.
Yeah.
Slackliners, maybe. Have you heard of slackliners?
Are we going to offend tightrope walkers?
I mean, I hope
we know it's a big segment of the listening public.
Well, we only need to worry about it if they're listening to this while they're up there, and then they fall and hurt themselves.
That's so blood on our hands.
Like they would start hopping angrily.
That would be a tragedy.
That's blood on our hands.
Yeah. We gotta be careful.
Yeah.
We don't want that blood.
Yeah.
My point was gonna be that even in the midst of something terrible, you know, even without the, and that just mild separation through that keyboard,
people rush to be hurtful.
People will rush to just be hurtful. For no reason at all.
2 hours after, I saw a post from a guy who I went to elementary and middle school and high school with.
Me.
Yeah, who said something that was outrageously terrible,
just dumb.
Yeah,
and
prefaced
and...
it with the fact that it was terrible. And I'm all for humor or anything like that, but it wasn't even phrased like a joke.
No.
And I feel like, as someone who likes comedy, who's done comedy, has maybe performed comedy today in front of you, I feel like I know... You know when something is a joke and when something's not.
Yeah.
Like
something's just someone demanding attention from saying,
like,
for saying something.
That's like
really
if you
stupid.
Sat down at the Thanksgiving table with your family and you got out of college and you were unemployed and your mom's like, "So what are you going to do with your whole life? Just do nothing?"
That's
like,
not a joke.
That's
a jab.
Yeah, what a joke. What a joke, Mom. It's a great joke. That hasn't happened to me, but...
It's happened to me.
Yeah. We've all had that moment of, like, your family wants to know, like, what are you going to do? That sort of thing. It's not a joke if you laugh at it.
Yeah, that's not the...
It's not if so, then therefore, or anything like that.
I mean, you don't make something a joke by throwing in a chuckle afterwards.
Yeah.
All right.
Man.
Well, we'll be right back after this message.
Ba-dum-bum.
You hit it.
I did.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I can edit it. It's all right.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
No big of a deal.
Yeah.
You want to roll it in?
Roll it in. Final segment, and then I can go home.
I'm sure that's how these people feel wherever they are if they're not at home.
Well, they have to stay wherever they are until they're finished listening. That's the thing with podcasts.
I don't want to limit anyone who's had the good grace.
If
and,
you are listening to this and you're moving, stop. Stay where you are.
Unless you're on a treadmill or somewhere like that.
No, just stop moving your legs on the treadmill.
Crossing a street.
Yeah.
That'll be one less listener that we have because that person will go to the hospital for brain trauma.
They might make them more like a better listener to our podcast, I think.
I wonder where people
like
are listening to this. You know, do people put this on at work? Do people put this on at a...
Well, you can email us at the Podluck and let us know how you're listening to it.
Send your pictures to Captain Noah.
We need to... What?
The writer of the TV show. Forget
it.
Keep going.
Oh,
quick,
like Captain Kangaroo. Got it.
I have nowhere to go from here.
Sorry.
All right. So,
off the rails.
It's my fault.
We have a casino in town.
Yes, we do.
Not very common to have a casino in a town.
No.
No, it's like in the center of town.
Yeah.
It's fairly new.
We're like Celadon City.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
From Pokemon.
It's so much cooler when you say it like that.
I mean, even that casino in that Pokemon town, the casino was not as prominent.
You can't win Pokemon at our casino.
No. You can win a lot of sadness.
Yeah.
So I decided, this was like half an hour before we started recording, and I have a segment, but I actually want to save it for a future episode.
Pulling the curtain back.
Yeah, pulling the curtain back. Oof. So, I thought I would look up Parx, which is the shitty casino in town.
P-A-R-X.
Right. P-A-R-X.
Future sponsor.
A
future sponsor of the Podluck, I'm sure.
Formerly Philadelphia Park Racetrack.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have a horse racetrack, which, you know, you still need in this day and age.
Right.
In the age of video slots.
I mean, that's been there forever.
They actually
has.
They built the casino just, like, in front and to the left of the racetrack.
Yeah.
There's, like, pay no attention to that old building. Here's some video screens.
Well, now they just let the horses run through the casino.
That would be so nice.
A great casino experience.
I don't know if it would be nice for any party involved.
No, probably not. Probably not at all.
Probably
they could have the horses serve drinks.
That'd be a good idea.
Oh, okay, so indentured servitude. Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, but it's, like, cushy.
Yeah, they get tips.
It's not
like servitude, it's more like just a bad job.
Yeah.
They're tipped.
Okay, they're tipped. I'm not going to pay this guy. He works on tips.
Yeah. So I assumed there would be kind of, like, some ridiculousness surrounding parks and, like, the whole story of why it gets built. Because, like, it just seems wrong to build a giant flashy casino in the middle of a weird, like, somewhat rustic
It's a suburb. Pretty small suburb.
Yeah.
Quickly becoming metropolitan.
No, it's yeah. no Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
That sounded good. So that sounded good.
I got no research in on parks because I got distracted because there are 133 Google reviews of parks.
Oh my god.
Which give a great idea of like a cross section of the type of people that go to this place.
Now here's the deal. I don't think you have to Google review a casino.
No, you know exactly what you're in for.
Yeah.
Well, no, because there are levels of casinos. That's like there true. Are casinos that you need to know like don't walk out of here with money.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get followed home and stabbed.
If yeah. just in if, case you happen to walk out with money, which you won't.
Right. Run. I mean,
in our case,
run.
Don't walk, run.
Right.
I mean, Parks is not one of those casinos.
No. No, no, I don't think. I think.
It's a suburban as far as I know, yeah. casino.
It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I mean, it's a for a casino. Casino. Really? We have a lot more drug dealers and prostitutes than we did 10 years ago, but.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
That is yeah. ancillary aside yeah. from.
It probably has nothing to do with it.
That has to do with us being a main line between New York, Trenton, and Philadelphia.
That's true. Like,
yeah, it probably has a lot.
And DC.
Yeah.
So. I started reading the Google reviews. We have a... Parks has a 3.1. I'm not going to say we, because I don't want to associate myself.
Okay. A 3.1 out of...
5.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so...
So what we're shooting for on iTunes is greater than 3.1 yeah. out of 5.
I like that we
better
just...
Better than Parks.
We just pick things to be our opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how we're doing it.
Adam, I've been doing that my entire life.
Yeah. We're not fighting ourselves, we're fighting other people.
Right, right.
47 likes.
We need to be versus something.
47 likes.
We got...
Two more than 45.
How many likes does the Parks Casino page have?
Oh, I'm sure it has like thousands.
Probably right. billions.
Because they probably offer people like $3 in casino credit for liking it.
You pick your battles. That's why we're not going like for like with them.
Makes sense.
So different audience.
Yeah.
Although if you want to listen to our podcast while you're gambling, that might offset the sadness you feel.
I feel like it would not be a good mix.
But. Yeah. So what people are complaining primarily that it's smoky. To which my response is, it's a casino.
It's very smoky.
It's one of the
you're right about that.
It's one of the last places you can actually smoke indoors.
Yeah, but which is, I mean, it's a lot of smoking though because that place is like
it's
a cavern.
Big. Yeah, it's very big. There's a very high ceiling.
Yeah,
so, and it's not like there's multiple levels or anything. It's not like a lot of the New Jersey or like Atlantic City casinos or anything like
actually,
that.
It's actually kind of weird because a lot
it's
of
a
floor
rancher.
Space. It is. Well, it's a rancher with a. Huge. It's more like a two-story house that someone knocked the second story out of to make a ranch.
It's a ranch.
Yeah.
It's an actual
it's ranch. The size of a ranch.
Yeah.
49,000 people.
Like Parks Casino?
Like Parks Casino, and 111,000 people have been there.
It's been there for a while.
On Facebook right? have checked in at
right.
the casino.
Right.
So that's a little under half
that's
like the casino
that's
that they've been to.
Slightly under what I expect for our podcast a year from now.
I'm all right with it.
So, as there are with any place that has a lot of Google reviews, there were some standouts.
Oh, boy.
So I'd like to start with one from a Mrs. Johnson. I do like going, but I don't win. I go there a lot.
That's a... Oh.
That is our modern day version.
There is a beautiful
there's
like,
a novel
picture
here.
Painted.
That is a modern day version of... baby shoes for sale, never worn.
Yeah.
Oh, by, what's his name? Oh my god, I
don't know
too.
What you're talking about.
I know exactly.
Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway wrote that.
Yeah, it's like the shortest story ever.
Short story.
Okay, so like there are epistolary novels.
Yeah.
Can we do a novel composed of nothing but reviews?
I think so.
That seems like a good idea.
That'd be Pomo.
Just a
Kickstarter that.
Just a tip to anyone looking for entertainment in a place with internet that is like very heavily blocked and stuff. Reviews on Yelp and Google and stuff will always give you entertainment.
That's smart.
I used to read Yelp reviews when I worked at this one job that was very security heavy, and the only thing they didn't block was Yelp, so I would just spend a lot of time reading Yelp reviews.
See, this is going to be the new entertainment.
It is, because it's...
That's amazing.
I think I probably told you about it. I don't think I ever mentioned this to Chance. So when I was, you know, sort of briefly, I guess, a teacher... I met with a lot of young people and kind of was privy to the way that young people entertain themselves now. And I have to say that I'm genuinely shocked and kind of amazed by the way that they ingest information, because
they're just inundated with it.
It's all Wikipedia-ic. It's all like articles. It's all entries. Like, that's it. Kids don't read comic books. They read the wiki about the comic book.
Right.
Because you want to know things. You don't want to go into, like,
yeah,
Spider-Man and not know about,
yeah,
Spider-Man.
So it has nothing to do with the narrative. It has nothing to do with the writing. All they want is, like, the facts delivered in, like, a database style.
Yeah.
Like, and that's how they understand information. And that's also how they, like, create information. We'll talk about this later, but it's kind of the same thing where, like, we're looking at almost very, very non-traditional forms of entertainment.
Yeah, it's very strange.
With, like, a loose sense of the word, but...
Yeah.
At one point, a friend and I made an entire wiki for a fake show that never existed.
Right.
We were paid for this, which it's the best paid gig I've ever had.
Yeah.
But we'll awesome. Talk about that later.
Oh, man.
Because there is so much more to this review.
Oh, my goodness. I thought that was just...
No, it's not. Wouldn't that be beautiful if that was it?
Yeah.
That would have been great. In my mind, that's the review.
In our novel, like, that's what it's like.
I also,
well, how many stars is this review?
3.
Okay. So she enjoys it, but not loves it. She doesn't love it because she doesn't win.
Yeah.
So there's... I'm assuming this is like wrestling. There's like smarts and marks. And she sounds like she's probably a smart.
Yeah, I think she's more of a mark.
Okay, well, let's hear the rest of it.
Marking out.
I think you'll be convinced with the next sentence.
Okay.
Oh, dear
the
God.
Train games are not like they used to be. I know. Hold on. The train used to travel around the whole cluster of machines, but they don't. Somebody must have programmed them different. So I don't know much about gambling or
there's
casinos.
So
I've never heard of a train game.
What is a train? I mean, I've been to the casino. Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's just slot machines and card games.
Yeah.
I think what she's talking about is that there must have been, like, a toy train going above a certain center
of
machines.
A set of slots or something.
And she liked that because there was a toy train, and now it's not there anymore, and she's upset about it.
Oh, dear Jesus, no.
Yeah.
She's gone from mildly sad and plain to, like...
A four-year-old?
Yeah.
Yeah, actively simple.
Okay, let's hear the rest of this.
Yeah, I gotta give her her due.
I noticed lots of machines are very different than before, so tapering may be going on. I don't understand.
That might be like a weird gambling in term.
Maybe. Tapering?
She means tampering.
Oh,
yeah.
She has to mean tampering, because she doesn't win.
Tampering.
And things are different.
That's smarter, yeah. That makes more sense.
Okay.
The train game might have something to do. So we have to account for spelling mistakes here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm doing my best
here. We've uncovered a wrinkle.
At the beginning, I did introduce punctuation where there wasn't any, because there's almost no punctuation in this.
Okay, oh.
Because I liked it space out that way.
Yeah, it's funny.
This is my favorite sentence. I was there last Halloween and seen a giant camel, which was scary for the fact of safety.
The most dangerous animal, the camel.
I don't think that's a gambling thing. I think she went there on Halloween and saw a giant camel.
Why would a camel?
I think it was probably a guy in a costume.
I like that she said it was a camel, and I can't think of anybody I've ever met that would think a camel was frightening.
Yeah.
Unless there's some kind of weird fear of the Arabs going on there.
Or she's just wasted.
Maybe.
That's too big for a camel.
It can't be a camel. Maybe it's the horses that ran through the middle of the casino.
It gets better, though. Hi, Pumpkin. You could not see his body. They made him stay by the door. But hey, what if this guy had something in his mechanical suit with him, like a bazooka? Which he could have fit in there.
Oh, this is definitely a fear of Middle Eastern people.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Maybe she thinks camel's a person of Middle Eastern descent.
No,
she said no.
She saw a giant
camel. She said mechanical suit.
Right. So there's a guy wearing a robot camel getup.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think which is more plausible. We have a crazy old racist who likes to write on Google reviews.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
A crazy old racist who saw a Middle Eastern person in, like, the power loader from Aliens.
Yeah.
That's the only other explanation.
This is mysterious. This makes me want to go to parks.
I think we have to go there on Halloween.
Right.
I think she legit saw a camel costume.
The Halloween camel.
Yeah, and she was afraid that there might be some cartoon terrorist...
Inside the camel with
a bazooka.
The mech camel.
Yeah, the primary weapon of terrorists.
Right.
Yeah. The auspicious mechanical camel.
What's up? No face paint rule, but was not enforced. There was people that had their face painted. This year should be fun. The theme is horror night, so I should see no winner dressed like a beautiful pink butterfly or the camel. Let's get...
Whoa. She wrote this review...
She's writing this review about one day,
on All Hallows' Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Referencing last
Halloween. This is right after.
It's 2 months.
And she just can't wait until
It's 2 months ago, so it would have been 2 weeks before Halloween.
That's fascinating.
Because we're recording this in December.
That's fascinating.
So she already has ill feelings about Halloween Night at Parks. Casino, yeah. By the way.
But she's hoping for the best.
Yeah. Horror theme is good.
Yeah. And she doesn't want any pretty butterflies or camels
winning. I like that she went back to the camel.
I wonder if Parks has, like, some crazy Halloween costume contest where the winner gets, like, $500.
Probably.
So people come with crazy...
Alright, there's two rules to the costume contest. One, no pretty things. Two, no goddamn camels. I'm done with it.
I
no
know.
Joe camel, no Arab camel, no two-hump camel, no one-hump camel. No camel. Black and white, posted on the board.
They should put a sign up.
Is that the end?
No.
Someone should monitor this camel situation.
Camel situation.
Let's stick to the rules and get them machines back in order. Oh, one more thing, people.
Uh-oh.
Fighting over machines because jerks are playing two or more at the same time is not cool.
That's a legit point.
I guess so.
That's the most lucid thing in the entire...
She's brought it back to reality.
I like that that's a problem. The rest of this isn't actually that funny, except she calls the employees red blazer guys.
Nice. Alright, that's
probably just descriptive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
that's fine.
Yeah, so watch
maybe
out.
She doesn't know that they work at the casino.
She might have just been having some crazy acid trip. She saw a camel on the TV.
This does sound like a bout of the dang fever.
These red blazer guys just keep coming around and bringing people drinks.
And the mechanical...
The mechanical camel.
First of all, the fact that she didn't call it the...
The mechanical.
Yeah. First of all, she didn't call it the mechanical.
The mechanical.
It's mechanical.
And there's like 50 guys hiding in it with a bazooka.
That's a t-shirt.
She thought it was some sort of weird terrorist Trojan horse.
Yeah.
I'm like imagining like an AT-AT.
Yeah. She was just watching Star Wars while playing video poker on her phone.
Man.
The fact that there are these power gamers there that are really ruining her vibe, too.
Yeah. I believe
they're like octopus.
Oh, I totally see that. Yeah. I totally would see that.
It increases your odds if you spend more money.
People are so freaked out about gambling. Yeah. Like, they need their seat, they need their game.
That's so funny. I gambled, like, literally once.
Yeah. Me too.
I went with $40 to a casino in Atlantic City for a co-worker's, I guess, 21st birthday, because I was drinking. She was older than me. I think it was just her birthday. It was just her birthday.
Get AC. We've done it before. Yeah.
And so she brought a bunch of the other people who were working there who were 21 to come with. So I went and, I pretty much just had some drinks or whatever. But I did try to gamble briefly. I brought $40 with me. And I went to the slot machines. And I literally was never up once. I just lost all my money. I lost money on every pull.
But while you play, the drinks are free, so it kind of evens out. You can kind of listen. If you have that sort of moderation mentality, and you're just like, I'm just going to drink, and if I lose 25, 30, 40 bucks, it's whatever.
You know what you do? You save your money. You get a waitress to bring you a drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
tip her.
Give her a really good tip.
And then she just keeps
bringing. You more drinks.
I've done that so many times, almost every single time I've gone to Atlantic City.
Yeah,
the only time
I've been I got from a coworker who did not come with us, but he was something of a self-proclaimed gambling man.
Yeah,
that was the only gambling advice I took from him was to just save your money, tip the waitress.
Yeah, just
and was good advice
because it's super. It's like the cheapest bar you've ever been to.
Yeah,
as long as your friends are losing money.
Yes.
The only time I gambled was at Parks, actually. We went there. We all went there for a friend's going away party because he worked at one of the restaurants.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I got $20. I wasn't planning on gambling at all.
Right.
But, like, the fever hit me. I saw the slots.
The one in room. There's a bunch of lights and stuff.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to give this a shot.
Remember, you went crazy at the casino in God Hand.
Right. The God Hand, the video game.
Yes.
I did.
Not God Hand, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's a city, not a state.
God Hand is a tough neighborhood in Milwaukee. It's the only tough neighborhood in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's where the saints and sinners go.
Yeah.
Dear God, a desolate Milwaukee.
They're all fighting for the title of Hand of God. Fists only.
Our next podcast is going to be completely narrative driven about this place
called love it if our podcast slowly transitioned into being like complete fiction.
Complete improv fiction.
We're like improving based off this weird universe we've created with Mechanicamels and God Hand Milwaukee.
Mechamicals.
That'll be the Mechamicals.
That'll be what?
That'll be the spinoff.
That'll be the spinoff. The Odd Luck.
The Mechamical. I think it's Mechamical.
I like Mechamical.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good word. I have another review if you guys are interested.
Once we get our shop up, we'll have tons of Mechamical t-shirts for people.
And real ones if you want to buy it.
It'll say Mechamical on the front. And a little picture of a robot camel, and then on the back it would say, "Someone's got to get this camel situation under control."
I really like the imagining the designs for it.
Yeah,
like it would have like sprockets and gyros and shit.
Yeah, it'd be like something a out of the Jetsons. Yeah,
I kind of picture having little wheels on its feet.
Yeah, just kind of like
imagine Joe Camel meets Dr. Robotnik. But still with the mustache.
Okay, so let's get the next one.
Okay, next one. This is coming from a different place.
Okay.
1-star review.
Ooh.
So we have one middle of the road, one negative.
Someone
one
has a grudge.
Someone's got a problem.
It's going to be juicy. Okay.
So let's find out. Let's get the juice. This place is horrible.
Okay.
I went to Parks with my 13-year-old son.
Red flag.
And then we'll stop. For a second.
We'll throw the red flag. Keep going. Power right. through.
Didn't know you could do that.
To see my father, who was playing with the band. So he's got his kid tag along.
I picked the flag up. Yeah. Pick the flag up.
Yeah, we can hang on to it, though.
Yeah.
I got it primed.
Don't put it away.
Yeah, just keep it ready. Okay. And as soon as we walked in, the security guard went in front of my son and was asking him for our ID, and he was very rude. When I asked him if underage people were allowed to see concerts, he replied, "No one under the age of 21 was allowed to enter." We went to the other entrance, and the Asian woman there walked up to my son and said, "Sir, you cannot be here. You need to leave. So don't go here. It sucks, and the staff are jerks." Oh. It sounds like they were just doing
the way that she typed it was as if the Asian lady had walked over and said, "Hey, sorry, buddy, you can't be here. By the way, the steps suck."
Right, right. Very candid. Wow. Okay, now, they're doing their jobs, obviously. I like the idea that it's a 13-year-old kid. Which some of them could be big, but in my head, this is not a big 13-year-old.
No.
And just being like, "Guy, ID, buddy. Let's see that ID."
It must be fun to do that to kids.
I mean, if you're like a jerk, probably.
Noticeable kids. The best thing is she has no idea that there's laws that govern that these people,
they're just jerks.
They're just jerks. Yeah. Why do they all have
that
policy?
Is it really that big of a deal to see a band play? I mean, yeah, it's your family. Good on you, but...
There's another...
Playing a casino. It's not like if your grandfather's playing in like a strip club or whatever, you'd be like, "Well, why can't Timmy come in?"
Right.
You know? Right. There's... Cats and dogs living together. People are crazy.
Mass hysteria.
My favorite line from that movie.
This is another negative review that I'll just throw in. Horrible,
short one, so.
Yeah. Horrible casino. Deny me access because my ID was expired for a day. So, again, probably just doing their
job. Doing their job. Yeah,
again, they can lose their gambling license.
For that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does suck to have to go on your birthday, but oh well.
Yeah. I like that the staff are jerks, though.
Yeah. Very rude.
They didn't get to see the train. They didn't get to see
the mechanical.
They apparently saw the camel, because apparently the camel was near the doors.
There were no... That's true.
This is where the red blazer people are.
Right.
The red blazer guys.
Yeah.
Standing with the mechanicals.
The red blazer gang.
They got to keep the camel situation under control.
They have to check for bazookas.
Right.
Did they ID the
camel?
I
haven't used the word bazooka since I was, like, 12.
I may have in reference to gum.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, Bazooka Joe.
Yeah, but...
Classic gum. Not very good.
No.
That goddamn candy pack in a bazooka.
Disappointing comics.
Look at the size of those humps. You can have a bazooka in there.
Perfect bazooka shape.
Yes. I'm pantomiming the shape of a camel for
could
our
be
listeners.
A double-barreled bazooka.
Yeah, the camel is a perfect animal that was designed as a bazooka-carrying apparatus.
Look, if you want to carry a bazooka... And you want to do it naturally.
without arousing any suspicion, please bring a camel to a Pennsylvania suburb casino. No one will be any the wiser.
Make sure it's not a mechanical.
Yeah, it's true.
Because the Mrs. Johnson will immediately spot it.
Well, I mean, they won't let the mechanical in.
Right.
Because it's not 21.
Right. It's not 21.
Or didn't renew its ID.
Yeah.
Maybe one of those reviews is written by the mechanical.
So. So we have one more positive review. It's very short. It's 4 stars.
Okay. This was the only positive review. The other one was kind of a middle-of-the-road one.
It was okay.
Yeah. The only positive review. 4 stars. This is where I give all my money away. And it's a bunch of sad faces. 4 stars.
Sad short story.
Yep. There are some very poignant reviews in here.
This is why my son doesn't talk to me anymore.
Yep.
Sad face, sad face, sad face.
Oh,
sad face.
This is where I go instead of engaging with people.
That's dear God.
Upsetting.
This is where I make my debt worse.
A nice little bit of wagering there.
Oh, I don't want to make you guys jealous, but I literally... I don't want to make you guys jealous, but I just got a text on my phone.
Ooh.
Hey, I'm ready to get on the naughty list. And then there's a colon with a...
I got that text, too.
You just got that?
Yeah, I got it this afternoon.
Did someone
send me a text so we can chat?
By the way, the address is T0-FB- friends with
FB
a Z
friends.
Yeah.
And a
Facebook
bunch
friends
of
is
stuff.
Yeah, the one I
is
saw.
That from? Sent from my iPhone.
No,
I-P-H-O.
Sent from my iPhone.
Yeah, the soup.
It's a Vietnamese soup.
Sent from my iPhone.
iPhone.
You're right. Yeah, so I got that same one, only it said, hey, saw your pic on Facebook first. I'm ready to be a naughty girl.
Which is amazing knowing your Facebook photo.
My Facebook photo is a picture of Diddy Kong's gun exploding in his face.
So she saw that and she's ready to party.
Yeah, which, honestly...
Mine is a close-up of a green rubber duck.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I thought the beak... Wait.
It's like one of those bathtub rubber ducks.
Is that a beak?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he had like a scary Muppet mouth.
His mouth is open, but it's a beak that's open.
Interesting.
It's colored like
Eagle's
green.
I get it on Skype
green.
All the time.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
I get people who randomly on Skype will be like Hottie94.5, and they'll be like, they want to be your friend.
Yeah.
Because they want to talk to you.
On my work Skype, I get stuff like that.
There's
like,
got to be a way they can just troll for like accounts. Just accounts.
TotalJenny01 wants to talk to
Total
you.
Total Jenny.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, is Jenny on Skype with me? That's Total Jenny.
Total Jenny. And Genie Girl was another one. That was last week.
Is Genie a fantasy anymore? It's not the
60s. I don't know.
Ooh,
I don't know.
Rub the lamp.
They were playing Shantae.
Yeah.
This generation's Genie is Robin Williams. Makes no sense.
She wanted to roleplay with you by granting wishes.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's on Skype and he wants to do this and that. It's like, oh, it's...
Oh, my God. Oh, let me do an impersonation of someone who's...
long since dead.
Yeah, long since dead. Oh, my God.
I don't think we're going for that, but yeah.
Yeah.
We already made public statements.
I was referring to him impersonating Groucho Marx.
Oh, I thought you were making fun of me doing an impersonation of Robin Williams.
No, I wouldn't say he's long since.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah.
RIP.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
I
love the SNES game of Hook.
Yeah. Pepperoni, pepperoni.
So really that was probably our biggest faux pas of the podcast.
No.
So I think it's a good time to introduce plugs.
I forgot he was.
Yeah.
No. You didn't want to believe.
No, he's at the museum.
He's still. I can see him. He's fine.
That's
he's
like
been
how
pretending to be Teddy Roosevelt.
That's how I felt. I felt like I was taking like. I thought I was crazy when Chris Farley died and a movie came out like 2 months later.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea how that happened. Because in my mind, I guess as a kid, movies were shot in pretty much real time. And then immediately pressed out.
Well, that really happened.
As a huge, huge fan of Beverly Hills Ninja, I think was the name of that movie.
Yeah, Beverly Hills Ninja.
I was traumatized by the death of Chris Farley.
Same.
When Almost Heroes came out.
I remember a kid screaming at me in school because he knew I liked Chris Farley and like Adam Sandler and stuff.
Yeah.
He like yelled at me because I was like, oh yeah, it really sucks Chris Farley died. And someone was like, well, he did like drugs and he's an idiot.
Oh, well,
and
that's
I was
a
just
permanent
like,
stain on that person, isn't it?
I'm sure it was like, well, I'm sure your mommy drank when she was pregnant with you, but we're not going to yell at her, are we?
Yeah, I got mad at Chris Rock today because I was here. I heard him doing an interview. So he's got this joke about how as a father, it's like his only job is to keep his daughter off the pole.
Yeah. And for years, like, years old, I think it was Bigger and Blacker.
Yeah. He just doesn't want her to vote, I think.
Oh, that's a good one.
Shazam.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and then in the same interview, they're like asking him whether he likes being out on the road and promoting his movie, and he's like, oh no, you know, it sucks, I guess it's, you know, I'd rather be at like a Knicks game, but I guess it's better than, like, and then he names some other, like, kind of very, like, important menial jobs that people do to make money.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Fuck you, Chris Rock, you piece of shit. Like, I think once, how dare somebody work a regular 9-to-5 job to pay for their family? Oh, you'd rather be at a Knicks game than getting paid to promote your shitty movie.
And making $10 million for it. I think once you've been that, like, rich and successful for that long, you just forget.
Yeah, and like, oh, how dare strippers need to make money? My daughter better not ever need to make... But my daughter better never be in a position where she has to degrade. Like, fuck you, dude. You're... Fucking go back to make Pootie Tang 2.
That'd be hot.
I would love Louis C.K.
first. I would love that.
This is a whole other topic, and I want to get some plugs in.
Pootie Tang 2.
So
in
Adam,
theaters now.
In theaters soon.
So Adam is an artist.
Not soon enough.
Of a sort.
I mean, you're a credited artist.
Yeah.
And so if you want to find out his last name, he's got a comic out that you can buy now, and you should. It's called Nova Phase. You want to talk a little about
it? Yeah, sure. Nova Phase is it is a miniseries from Slave Labor Graphics. It's available on Comixology. Fourth issue just came out in digital form, and the trade paperback of the first two issues is available. Trade paperback of the next two issues will be available soon. First issue is free on Comixology, so hit that up. It's a like sci-fi western kind of, in think Firefly, but done in the style of a cutscene from Ninja Gaiden.
Cool.
If that makes sense. It's all it's an 8-bit color palette. I'm the illustrator. It's written by Matthew Ritter. Check it out. People seem to like it.
Alright.
I
haven't bought it because I'm not interested in those things. But if you want to send us a message, use thepodluck@gmail.com. Thepodluck.tumblr.com is our Tumblr where we put up the episodes.
Yeah.
That's about it. More see you guys that. Later. Last word, Chance?
Baba booey, baba booey. Thank you.